In late June, Jackson County was down to 67 cases in a week. Last week, it was 627 cases. So we welcome back Dr. Jim Shames, Medical Director at Jackson County Health and Human Services, for a special catch-up Q&A. Dr. Shames, welcome back.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Thank you.
So in 4 weeks, a multiplying of new cases by more than nine times. Give us your thinking on the contributing factors.
Well, the Delta variant, the lack of vaccination on the part of some, the loosening of restrictions that we know, you know, can provide safety. I think the exhaustion that kind of everybody feels at having to keep up the diligence, I think all those things have contributed. And the way the pandemic works is when you get a certain critical mass of cases, the multiplying effect occurs really quickly. So, you know, once it's out in the community, it can very rapidly increase the numbers, as we have seen in this last week or two.
You know, as I watch the numbers drop, I have to admit that I have not looked at a replication factor, an R-naught, for months. Have you any idea where we stand right now, since you mentioned replication?
Oh, gosh. It's estimated to be anywhere from four to nine.
Wow. So every person with a case infects four to nine people.
Yeah, that's how it's looking.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So, okay, so I guess that answers my next question, which is a trajectory with Delta that much greater than with previous versions? And it sounds like it is.
Yeah, it is. And that's primarily what the Delta has brought to the table, which is that the way the disease transmits, it's much more aggressive than it had been. And so, you know, having to adhere to masking and distancing and hand washing and that is even more important than it had been in the past, certainly for those who are not vaccinated.
So we've been reading about the Delta viral load being much higher. What does that mean?
It appears that the virus replicates easily in the nasopharynx. And in fact, there's even some disturbing evidence that it may replicate pretty easily in the nasopharynx of those that are vaccinated as well. So you got quite a bit of virus in your body, and when you sneeze, touch your nose, speak, cough, laugh, that a lot of virus leaves you and can enter the airspace of someone else. The good news is that despite that, the vaccine still seems to be quite protective at keeping people from getting seriously ill from the virus, but that doesn't mean it necessarily fully protects them from passing it to others.
All right, so we're back to this level of explanation again, which is that having the vaccine doesn't mean the virus won't come into or onto your body. It just means that you won't get very sick from it.
It appears to be the case. I think what's frustrating to everybody is that, you know, we kind of tell them one thing based on what we understand, and then sometimes even as shortly as a week or two later, we're having a different communication because information is coming in real time. So we had hoped that getting vaccinated would both protect you from getting sick and also protect you from transmitting the disease to others. But with the Delta variant, we're not so sure that's true.
Well, and then talk about that part of it then, because, you know, obviously it has their own, you know, this whole job has its own frustrations, and you mentioned exhaustion. I have some questions about that later, but then the whole idea that people in public health are flip-floppers and or liars, or, you know, insert your term here. But as you're pointing out, you don't have all the information all the time.
No, we're trying desperately to be transparent and honest. And what that means is, you have to be transparent and honest about your mistakes. And they're not even necessarily mistakes. They're just, you know, here's what we know based on the facts at hand. And then you go, well, look at that. You know, either we weren't right or things have changed. You know, a new variant came along which gives us different ground rules. And I know that's very frustrating for people who would like it to be solid and not change, but that's just not the case.
I think I realize, too, we're talking about a living thing here. We're not talking about, you know, trajectories of spaceships and things like that you can figure out with math alone. This is a living thing that is evolving before our eyes.
Yeah, good point.
Jim Shames, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange once again. Dr. Jim Shames is Jackson County's Medical Director at Health and Human Services in the Public Health Division. You can join the conversation on the Exchange in this special edition of COVID Q&A, 800-838-3760 by phone, 800-838-3760. Hurry up. We only got about 10 minutes. And emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. In Jackson County at the moment, the numbers of new cases and hospitalizations, test positivity rate, all the usual indicators, pre-July, would this have put us in extreme risk range?
Oh, sure. I mean, I don't really know exactly what the definitions of the various categories are, but we are, things are not looking good. Our hospitalization rates are as high as they've ever been with COVID, and so it's significantly worse here than in the rest of the state, for example. So, yes, things are feeling like they're at a bit of a crisis point. We do not have enough personnel to do traditional case investigation or contact tracing. The hospitals are really beginning to look at contingency planning. We have patients who need to go back to the nursing homes who can't be readmitted because of various COVID policies. Yeah, there's a lot of stress going on.
Indeed. So in the absence of any state mandates at this point, I know Governor Brown has talked about making sure that kids go into school masked in the fall. But what any procedures that you're taking at the county level? You got some advisories out, I see.
Yeah, we're making some modifications in terms of our what we can do with the staff that we have in terms of outreach. As I said, we can't provide traditional case investigation to everybody that's positive at the moment. We're in close contact with hospitals. We expect the governor to come out with some new guidance shortly that, you know, that may sort of mandate tightening up a bit in terms of vaccines and masking, and we're pretty much going to follow the OHA on that. I doubt that we're going to come up with some special mandate that's not going to reflect what the state's doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so nothing that'll be Jackson County alone.
I don't think so.
Okay, a couple of calls here. Ken from McKinleyville, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Jim Shames.
Yeah, hi, good morning, and thank you. I'm wondering about IgA antibody, the antibody that's expressed in the mucous membranes, and if that's relevant with COVID, and if it is, has it been tested for?
All right, thanks for that.
Well, that's a very specific question. I listen to some podcasts by virologists who do get deep in the weeds. I haven't heard that brought up. An interesting question. The very, very broad answer is that the immunity to infection is very vast, involving many different types of antibodies and antibody systems and various cells, including T cells and B cells and others. So it could very well be that that's a very relevant question, but I don't know how much of a role it plays in the protection developed either by natural disease or vaccine.
Okay, I did a little quick research there myself. Ken is talking about immunoglobulin A, right? There are several sets of immunoglobulins. Okay.
Right.
All right, so I appreciate the question from Ken, and let's see, we have another call here from David in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, this is David.
Yep.
A question for Dr. Shames. What can we do as individuals not to be spreaders of this virus if we're vaccinated or if we're unvaccinated? And in particular, things that are going on around in the world right now is to get booster shots. And some countries, folks are washing their nose with nasal washes. I wonder what his opinion would be on those kind of measures so all of us can contribute to suppressing the spread of this virus.
All right, thank you,
whether
David.
Whether we're vaccinated or not vaccinated.
Okay, either vaxxed or unvaxxed. All right, thanks, David.
Well, I wish everybody was as diligent as David in asking those kinds of questions. The straightforward things that we've been advocating for the last year and a half continually proved to be effective. So, you know, masking, distancing, hand washing. I don't know about cleaning the nasal passages. I just have no opinion on it, whether it's helpful or not. That advice is useful for everybody, especially now that we know that vaccinated individuals can carry the virus and can spread the virus. So increasingly, you know, we're, the message, not say increasingly, but the message should be fairly clear that if you are vaccinated or unvaccinated, we're asking you to mask when you're around strangers in public indoors. And I might mention that, you know, this Delta variant is so contagious that there may be circumstances where N95 masks might be more effective than cloth masks. Certainly a well-fitting mask would be useful. I hesitate to talk about N95 masks, A, because we don't have enough of them, and B, we don't yet have enough science to suggest whether they're genuinely more effective than surgical masks.
The nasal wash is an interesting concept, and I know we can't really deal with it here. I will say this much, having advice from ear, nose, throat people before, don't squeeze the squeeze bottle so hard you propel all that salty water up into your sinuses, because you could be highly uncomfortable for a long period of time. That's just a little aside there. Question from Steve in Grants Pass dropped off, wants to know if there is a booster in development for the Delta variant.
Oh, thanks. And I didn't answer the booster part of that question. So, there are certain circumstances where increasingly it looks like a booster is going to be useful. People who are immunosuppressed, people who have transplants, for example, mount a very poor response to the vaccine, and it does seem like repeated vaccinations may boost them up into a safer range. So I think we're heading towards that recommendation. Beyond that, I think the jury is still out. And it could be by the time we're ready to advocate for a booster shot, it could be that the vaccine will have been modified so it's more effective against the Delta variant. That still is not a CDC recommendation.
I'm going to have to paraphrase the question. Bill and Weed wants to know how the vaccination affects the R factor, the R naught, the replication number.
Yeah. Well, it's a little unclear to me. But it certainly should bring it down for the population as a whole. The problem we have now is we have clusters of people who are in contact with like-minded people who are not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for that social group, for that particular community, the R value remains very high. If we have people who are mingling mostly with vaccinated and a few unvaccinated, well, then the protection of the vaccine has a major role to play and can greatly reduce infectivity. I think we all expected that once a vaccine was released, it would sort of uniformly distribute throughout the population and all the vaccinated would help protect the unvaccinated, but it doesn't look like that's how it's playing out.
No, and with this many positive tests, do you suspect there are a whole lot more people who might have the virus and have not been tested?
Yes. We have widespread community involvement at this point. And, you know, the concept of something like case investigation would be, aha, we discovered a case. Let's quickly kind of clamp this down and prevent it from spreading. When you have 80%+ of all your cases unable to be traced to a particular source, widespread community involvement, then contact tracing loses its effectiveness. And a lot of public health tools become less effective because the virus is kind of everywhere.
Are you noticing any uptick in vaccination locally?
I know there's been an uptick everywhere it's been looked at. I haven't seen it, but I'm hoping that there is some. We haven't necessarily seen it at public health, but we're not the only place doing the vaccinations. I hope for one.
Mm-hmm. All right, and final question, how exhausted are you all at public health now?
Oh, we've been exhausted for a while, you know, doing a lot of work without enough staff. So we're doing okay, but it's discouraging work.
It is indeed. 188 cases in one day last week, 627 for the last completed week versus 67 4 weeks earlier in Jackson County. So not a good trend. Dr. Jim Shames came in special to catch us up from Jackson County Health and Human Services, and it's much appreciated.
Yeah, thank you, Jeffrey.